Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America here with Major Mike Gary. So you will get a perspective on tonight's topic that comes from medicine and the military and a trained Seaburn officer, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons officer. And we want to talk to you tonight about DEI and damage from the COVID shot that people aren't talking about, both of which have contributed, in our opinions, to death in the skies. And these, speaking as a physician, these are two aspects of two huge elephants in the room that are not being adequately discussed and having an impact throughout many areas of our society. We can look at errors and mistakes made in medicine. And I'm not talking about the deliberate COVID death protocol in 2020, 2021, and into 2022. I'm talking about errors constantly happening in the field of medicine, prescription errors. And that, I mean, I just had one in my practice the other day. A 71-year-old woman had a birth control pill dispensed by a pharmacist in place of the menopause product for progestin and really caused risk for that patient. And birth control pills are too potent to give to 71-year-old women. So I'm seeing it throughout medicine with pharmacy errors, lab errors, hospital errors, anesthesia errors, surgical errors. It just is nonstop. And we're seeing it with all the near misses on runways across America. We're seeing it in industrial accidents. We're seeing it in the auto accidents on the highway that are increasing, road rage. There are so many things happening that are occurring as a result of people who are not adequately trained for the positions in which they are placed by DEI policies, diversity, equity, inclusion, based upon race, age, or gender. And we're seeing people injured due to the brain inflammation and cognitive impairment from the COVID shots, even if they only got them in 2021. I'm seeing the neurologic complications of that in patients all the time. And this is 4 years later. So I think these are important issues as we look at the subject of the absolutely tragic mid-air collision over Washington that killed 67 people. And our hearts and prayers go out to their families and loved ones and friends. It's just devastating. And to the people on board, the six people on board the plane, the medevac plane that crashed in Philadelphia. And we wanted, Major Gary and I really want to talk about how this, what we see from our experience as to how these issues seem to have played out, particularly in the crash near Reagan Airport, and particularly DEI, because of course we don't know the vaccination status of the military pilots or the commercial pilots, but I do know that Truth for Health Foundation has been in the fight to help preserve the jobs and careers of both military and civilian pilots who were mandated to get the COVID shot or threatened with being terminated. And we know that military pilot training was reduced or non-existent during the first 2 years of the COVID pandemic, 2020 and 2021. So even highly experienced pilots did not get a lot of practice during that time. So these are some of the factors we want to talk with you about tonight and get you to think about this in terms of the bigger picture. So, Major Gary, welcome to the program. You've got 26 years in the military altogether, in the National Guard and in the U.S. Army Reserves. So what are your thoughts about what we've just seen, with particularly with the airplane crash, mid-air collision that so tragically killed so many innocent people?
Yeah, initially, well, thank you, Dr. Vali. I appreciate it. Initially, when I saw the video, the first video, and then some following videos within the first 12 hours, it was really hard for me to believe that the chopper could actually run into the plane like I observed in the first video clip. And then when you start factoring in where our society is and things are breaking all over the place. And what I mean by that is, you know, quite often when you go to the coffee shop, you can't use the lobby because they're short staffed. I mean, that's an example you run in all the time. Or if you try to go to a convenience store and you can't use the bathroom because there's not enough people there to service it, you start realizing that our society is breaking down all over the place. And when you start finding articles like, I'm just going to read the headline off this article, and it demonstrates so poignantly what I'm saying about all society. It says, lawsuits allege FAA denied 1,000 people air traffic controller jobs to meet diversity hiring targets.
Yes.
So you just start.
That's just outrageous.
Right. And then, I'm going to read an article here in a minute that goes into that in a little more detail, but you just start digging in and you're like, oh my goodness. Yeah, the whole system's broken. And
well, and here's the just horrific tragedy right now. We are short. I think the figure I heard, we are short over 3,000 air traffic controllers. And under the Biden and previous to that Obama administrations, they turned away 1,000. I mean, it's hard to have really qualified people meet the standards that what used to be the standards at the FAA to be an air traffic controller, and to turn away 1,000 qualified people is unconscionable.
Yeah. And then, so I'm going to say this, I'm not representing the military, representing my own personal experience, because I'm one of these guys that was purged out. Now, speaking of the purge, one of the military occupation specialties that was mostly purged was the pilots, and it was senior pilots. Okay.
Wow.
So now you've got a crew of instructor pilots, IPs, as they call it. You're hearing this term IP. They're not as senior as they once was before the purge, the vaccination purge in the military. So we're not really sure about the instructor pilot, how seasoned he was. I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but we just don't know. We know this has affected the military in a lot of ways, experience-wise. Now, we purged good people, good pilots, experienced pilots, pilots with values and ethics, and got rid of them. And during that time, the military pretty much did nothing for 2 years. They were doing COVID stuff. If you were to go into the senior officials' records and see what they got awards for, it was for COVID masking and vaccination rates and supporting the CDC and missions like that, and setting up swabbing stations. This is what senior officials would have been awarded for during the 2021 through 2022 timeframe. And guess what? Pilots weren't flying very much during that time frame. They really didn't get back to it until 2023. And of course, that's after the purge of many good pilots. So what you're seeing is DEI and COVID having its long-term effects on the system. And now I call out the award piece of this because it's such a cover-up. Okay, and I know it from the military side of things. And this applies, I'm sure, in the civilian world, especially in the FAA and the tower controllers and other places. They have their own types of cover-ups. One of the cover-ups is awards. The senior officials get awards, patted themselves on the back for doing a good job during COVID, but in reality, they took out years of experience across the board of all MOSs, military occupation specialties, and especially in aviation in the choppers. And another thing that I just want to call the attention to, Doc Fleet, we don't have to go into it, but there was a whole rash of Black Hawk crashes late winter. In early spring of 2021, so right as the shot was being fielded, there was a bunch of Blackhawks going down. So much so that this also caused safety stand downs in the aviation community, and this happened several different times as units started trying to get going again and do training, especially in aviation. They've had a numerous amount of safety stand downs due to Black Hawk crashes. And of course, a lot of those crashes in 2021, 2022, I believe there's cover ups there, and they're most likely because of pilots getting the shot shortly before taking off. So, anyway, I just want to call attention to that as all this stuff adds up over time. It adds up so much in our society. And eventually, a chopper in a plane, there's so many accidents because there's no double checks on anything. We in the tower, we don't even have enough people to provide a double check on the one guy that's manning it anymore, apparently. That's what's coming out with this story. So we're so short-staffed that when we make a mistake now, it really hurts because all the checks and double checks that we used to have in our society aren't there. And that's what the media has done, is covered up this. They've pretended that this thing has been all okay and good since COVID, but that's not the case. And we know different because we're seeing, like you mentioned earlier, Dr. Lee, all these accidents go on. I don't know how many times I've seen a car off the road due to a medical event, or seeing it in the local news, car off the road for a medical event. I mean, it happens quite often now. So this is where our society's at. I just want to draw a little more attention to the traffic controllers and kind of
Yeah,
put
I think that's really important because there were, when you look at, I mean, I have studied numerous pilots who've posted good analysis of this Washington, D.C. crash. And when you look at the flight plans, you look at what the pilots, who are very experienced pilots, have to say about it. It's very striking to me, just and even just listening to the recordings that we've been able to hear, the casual tone of voice, just request visual separation, just in a very nonchalant tone of voice, and the controller just immediately says, okay. Like there's no questioning when you could see on the screen that there were other planes, how did the controller even know that the helicopter had the right plane in view? And that's just a common sense question. There didn't seem to be any verification of it. And then the follow-up, two times the controller asked, things are getting, they're coming closer and closer. You'd think he would say something more definitive than, do you see him, in a fairly calm voice? Like, get the hell down. You're too high. You're going to hit him. I mean, some way of conveying a sense of urgency in a calm way, but a sense of this, you're not responding in a way that's taking you out of the path of the American Eagle plane that was landing.
Yeah, no doubt. You draw attention to the actual radio traffic, and it was just like that. I mean, prior to hearing that radio traffic, Dr. Vliet, I was actually thinking there was nefarious intent involved. But after hearing that, and like you said, the nonchalantness of it really draws us to the fact that our society is falling apart. I think these people died totally unaware of what was about to just happen. I don't think they had a clue that they hit each other. And I know you and I both watched that excellent podcast by Mike the Rocket Blackstone explaining this, how a plane, when it's coming in for a landing, or when it's flying, period, is slightly tipped back. So picture yourself tipping back in your chair, and your line of sight when you tip back in your chair, you're looking slightly up. And then, of course, the chopper pilots are doing the exact reverse thing. They would be like tilting forward because of the way the rotor has to be tilted forward to actually drag that chopper forward. So they're both in the absolute worst spot to see each other. I'm not even sure that they even knew that they didn't know until it actually happened. So I think it's just a total lack of awareness, which I think is quite fitting for where we are in this country in a lot of ways, or at least, you know, like almost 50% of the population is totally unaware of how bad their situation is after the events of the last 4 years. So I think you drawing attention to that nonchalant radio traffic speaks volumes to this event, but also to a lot of industrial accidents
It is
that have been
very well,
occurring.
it goes to a point I've been teaching about since the COVID shots were rolled out. And for the first time, and remember, this is not a criticism of the individual pilots or operators of heavy equipment or vehicles or anything else. These shots were unlawfully mandated for the military, in the military. They were unlawfully mandated by all of the major commercial airlines in the United States. I was just absolutely livid at the time that was announced because we have medically, I knew we were in serious trouble with we mandated all of our first responders, all of our military, all of our pilots, people in critical occupations had been mandated on the threat of losing their job, and we gave grants to a number of them who were threatened with being terminated to get legal defense. So I know this, I know the history of all that. And here we were damaging the brain ability to function normally. We have never in the history of world vaccination had a product that was engineered to cross the blood-brain barrier and cause spike protein in this case and lipid nanoparticle toxicity in the brain itself. And so I've been teaching about the frontal lobe syndrome, which comes from brain inflammation from the COVID shots, particularly since none of the other medical products we've called vaccines ever crossed into the brain before. And what we're seeing is the apathy and the lack of awareness, the slowed thinking. It's like people are in a fog and they don't react quickly. They don't react quickly driving a car. They don't react the same way piloting a plane, and especially not all the complexity of the controls of a helicopter. And you've got to have good fine motor hand movements, hand-eye coordination, situational awareness, sensory, kinesthetic, all of these functions have to be at peak performance when you're flying a helicopter in any condition, but especially at night, especially where you're blinded by lights, where you've got oncoming traffic from other planes, and you've got water, you've got all sorts of things that can disorient you. The brain needs to be working optimally. And I think, given the military mandates for the COVID shots, I doubt that anyone in that helicopter had avoided getting a shot, they couldn't keep their job in the military if they did. And they weren't giving out religious or medical exemptions. So I think you've got that problem. And you've got the problem that one of the things I really liked about what Mike Blackstone call name Rocket, he was a U.S. Air Force combat veteran, as well as and on a pilot now, very outstanding presentation analyzing all of this. And he brought up some excellent points. And something I had just common sense, I have friends who are small plane pilots, and most of them say that the really critical time for pilots' overconfidence and not enough skill is around that 500 hour to 1,000 hour flying experience. And yet the media referred to the helicopter pilot as very experienced. But every pilot I've talked with since this happened said, no, we don't consider anything under 1,000 as very experienced. And usually it's more than that in a congested airspace at night with all of the things, all of the variables that you deal with coming into Washington National Airport. And that was what Rocket explained in the podcast. And we're going to link that because it was so well done. We both listened to it and were very impressed with his analysis. And that was one of the things he pointed out, that 500 hours in a helicopter and ostensibly with night vision goggles, and no one knows whether they were on or off at the, I mean, on the head or off the head at the time of the accident. But if you're training with night vision goggles and you're relatively new pilot, and she was also a White House aide, social aide, so obviously piloting wasn't her only duty in the military. And you just said that the military pilots were basically on stand down during much of COVID. So I just think it all adds up to the fact that there's not a lot of experience in probably one of the most complicated settings for pilots of any kind to land and take off around Washington, D.C. and DCA airports. That's some of my thoughts. It's a combination of the damage that's come from the shot that people are still today not acknowledging, and it does affect the brain, and we see it everywhere. And then the DEI focusing on, it's so good to have a pilot of this sex or this skin color rather than competence, or an air traffic controller of this sex or skin color rather than how competent they are. And you're dealing with people's lives. And I think DEI can spell death when you put that as the criteria for hiring in critical professions.
That's a very good point. And I'm just going to add to that for a second. Especially the military has forced a lot of females, but a lot of people that aren't merit-based into situations or let's say military occupation specialties, which force them into difficult situations like this one. And who knows if, I hate to speak bad, but who knows if she was really qualified. They have dropped, as you know, the EKG qualifications to actually fly a chopper, and some of the other qualifications they've dropped over the course of the COVID timeframe to do certain occupations. So, and this is a problem of leadership, you know, in such a rush to force, let's just stick with females right now, females in to prove that they're better than males in certain jobs, which now we're starting to see the outcomes of these situations, and they're not good. They're not good for anybody. And why would leadership put somebody that can't do a certain thing into a certain position? That's totally wrong. That's poor leadership. Now, we don't know that this is the case in this specific instance, but we do know with the towers, this is the issue. And I'm going to read this article, Doc Vliet. It's out of the conservative zone. It's called Air Traffic Controller Exposes how both Obama and Biden to blame for deadly DC crash. And I can't find the author's name attached to this, but I'm going to carry on. It says more than 60 innocent lives were taken after a Black Hawk helicopter collided with a passenger jet while landing at the Ronald Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. The former president, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden might be to blame. A former air traffic controller came forward to reveal how Obama administration waged war against the aviation industry, firing thousands of qualified people for, guess what? For being too white. Moving on, a preliminary investigation conducted by the Federal Aviation Administration revealed that staffing at the Ronald Reagan National Airport air traffic control tower was insufficient for the time of day and traffic volume when the collision occurred. But the former air traffic controller, Michael Pearson, revealed to Fox News that this short staffing was nothing new and that it was attributable to the Obama administration. And then he goes on to say the system has been under attack due to DEI and the FAA bowing to wokeness since 2010, since the Obama administration, Pearson said. The lack of staffing is directly attributable to the Obama administration terminating the list of eligible, well-trained air traffic control statements in 36 universities across the country in 2013 because they were too white. He added that the Obama FAA also rolled out an immunity program which prevented people from being held accountable for the mistakes so as not to hurt their feelings. The FAA also, at the same time, implemented an immunity program. Excuse me, I just read that. Now they're not. All they have to do within 48 hours of being noticed or investigated for a potential separation error, they're called operational errors in the FAA. The controller simply has to avail themselves of this program that gives them immunity. In other words, the insane Democrat-created immunity program prevents the FAA from being able to retrain people who commit potentially fatal errors, even if they do so repeatedly. The FAA cannot retrain these people if somebody has a receptive, excuse me, repetitive instance of malfeasance or lack of competency. The FAA, because of this immunity program, cannot rectify the situation. They have to basically allow the person to remain in the same position, Pearson says. So,
That is
okay.
just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is.
It's
It
very, it's deadly and dangerous to not remediate someone any more than, how could you let a surgeon stay in the operating room if they repeatedly made major surgical mistakes? And we've got to applaud President Trump and Pete Hegseth for stopping the DEI policy throughout the federal government and the military in particular. It is just devastating to military readiness, which affects our national security, and it makes it a more dangerous environment for the service members themselves. If you don't have competent people, the best of the best for a particular occupation, doing the job. It's just common sense, as President Trump likes to say.
correct. The focus has not been on competency or how well you do your job over the last, well, it's probably been some decades. It started off slowly and then got faster at how well it was implemented. But the last 4 years has been about DEI in the loyalty test and the shot. It certainly hasn't been about how well you can perform your job. And that's the unfortunate thing. And of course, all the statistics that these organizations or the government produces says otherwise. That's why I mentioned the awards earlier. They're just cover-up operations to what reality is. Reality happened in a really deadly way the other night when the two collided in the air. And it looks like up and down, all parts of the air industry failed. I mean, it was like one failure on top of another. I mean, it wasn't just short-staffed in the tower, but we had the Black Hawk instructor pilot say, yeah, we got it. We see them. And they didn't actually seem to see the plane, you know? And then now we've got an altitude problem. So it doesn't appear like we know how to set our altimeters correctly. So, you know, you just kind of go through it. It looks like wherever there could be a failure, a human failure, there was in this incident. And that's why I had such a hard time believing that it was human error. I don't mean to laugh at that, but it looked like the chopper flew right into the plane from the video clips. You know, and President Trump said as much. I mean, the way he stated it when he truthed it out, that's exactly how it looked to me. I took it the same way he did. And it just was hard to believe. But now that we're kind of digging in and we have some initial input or data from some places, we can see that it is almost like a civilization failure going on. And I don't know, just kind of flabbergasted and blown away by it. But at one time, we did these things right, and we need to get back to that. We at one time we mentored people. We used to be able to train them and mentor them, and we certainly didn't let them fly a chopper in a hairy situation like that. I mean, for somebody with such low hours, and somebody needs to check how many hours does a pilot come out of flight school with? I bet you it's about half those hours that was being recorded. So 450 hours is what I was hearing the pilot had. I wonder if half of those were from the school. So that re in reality means not a lot. And I believe they also get credit for simulation hours. Flying in a simulator, they get credit for hours that way too. So, I mean, but this is real world. And
It's very analogous to the training in medicine. You mentioned
right.
mentoring. That's exactly, medical students are mentored by interns and residents who are mentored by attendings. And all the way up the chain, you always have someone more experienced, more senior, teaching the new people. And new people are not released to do a procedure unless they've had enough experience. It's why you don't send a first year surgical resident in to do a complex neurosurgery procedure. And in many respects, that's not a bad analogy for what we were dealing with a pretty new helicopter pilot being thrust into a training scenario at night in the middle of one of the most complicated airspace locations in the world, much less the United States. And I used to live in Virginia and flew in and out of Reagan Airport many, many times, and Dulles and all, and BWI, all of those. I know pilots, friends of mine who are pilots, everybody talks about the fact that DCA or Reagan Washington National is the most difficult airport from its geography and its layout and the way that the approaches have to be made, as well as the fact that it's a very busy, congested airspace. So I think that's analogous to putting a student doctor in a neurosurgical procedure and saying, okay, go operate on somebody's brain.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Dr. Lee. And I think that's something that we've lost because when the purge happened through our society, you lost those people that tended to be good trainers or mentors.
Well, as you pointed out, those were the people that the military purged.
And it wasn't just the military, but you know, I can speak from that, and from the military side of the house. Yeah, you lost the best people, the people that actually would raise up subordinates. That's why subordinates were always saying, oh, those were good leaders. Why did we? And they were sad. And of course, once those leaders left, they tucked tail and took the poison and didn't know what to do because they essentially lost their example, their model, or their role models is what happened. And I think that's
We
something that
lost
we're
a lot of good
missing.
people in medicine, where
Yeah.
they fire good emergency room doctors and senior attending physicians who were smart enough to question the experimental nature of the shot and the fact that there were no clinical data, there was no clinical trials, and there was no long-term safety data, and just common sense. I mean, long before I knew more of the details about the lipid nanoparticle damage to the endocrine organs, which Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Vodarg, Wolfgang Vodarg from Germany, pointed out in the fall of 2020. Long before I knew that, just the whole idea of a rapidly rolled out vaccine and no long-term safety data made me question it on a common sense basis. And those doctors who did question it and worked for a health system were fired. So we lost the people in many fields, military and civilian life, who were questioning based on common sense and based on traditional safety measures and cross checks and double checks and redundancy plans to avoid accidents and danger, things that could endanger the public safety. So I think in many respects, we've hit a lot of the highlights of what we wanted to say, that death in the skies can be seen as a predictable consequence of DEI damage when you're hiring people based on the color of their skin or their gender instead of their competency. So, any other closing thoughts?
No, other than this is something we need to remedy in our society, big time, if we're going to carry on as a people. And I think the ability or the want to actually grow up good leaders and good people is something that we've lost out of society because of the trust issue after all the COVID mandates. I think it's broken what used to be good mentoring or good. Training programs have suffered greatly because of that lack of trust, and it's something that we need to actually. So, I guess what I'm saying is we got to get back to the basics and do the basics right, which is growing up people to do the next level, higher up job, and whoever's doing that training, it is the most important thing you do. So make sure you do it right, and then judgment. I guess judgment's another thing that has suffered greatly in the COVID timeframe. So somehow we have to bring back the ability for people to make good judgment calls and be honest, I guess, honest and truthful, which hasn't happened much in the last 4 years. People have been gaslit so much, they've accepted the lies. And this is another routine that we need to fix or get out of the habit of accepting the lies of the media and actually attend to the issues at hand. That's all I got, Doc Lee. Thank you.
Well said, well said. So focus on competency, honesty, integrity, and truth. I think that is a good plan as we move into this new year of 2025 and a new administration. And I would call all of you listening to support our new president and the leaders, support them in prayer, support them in responding to all of the attacks coming in the media, the New World Order and the globalists who want to destroy our freedom and control our lives have not gone away. They are still determined to take our freedom and even our lives and micromanage our lives until we're gone. So we need to come together. We need to push for the common sense changes that President Trump and his team are implementing, and we need to support that. And we really need to let our elected officials know that the people have spoken on November 5th, 2024, and we want these problems fixed. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Check out our store of high-quality professional formulas, certified good manufacturing practices, compliant nutraceuticals. Donate to support our work to continue the fight to restore a healthy, free, safe, and strong America. We'll see you back next time. Thanks for joining us.